The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.' The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Oh, Naaman, Naaman, Naaman. Naaman is a great and powerful man, one that anybody would be happy to be in the company of, as he is strong and an excellent warrior and good-looking and in the king's favor. What's not to love? Except Naaman has been struck with a disfiguring skin disease. We use the word leprosy, but it's not what we know as leprosy now. Just think of a nasty, oozy skin infection. And he's not happy about it. It kind of ruins his persona. And so a slave, not a fancy courtier or a wise person or some other warrior, it is the slave of his wife who tells him about this prophet back in her hometown of Israel who can heal him. And so Naaman loads up a ton of wealth, his silver, his gold, his garments, because clearly he's going to need to give this to the prophet to get the supposed cure. I mean, that's just how it was done in his day. You want a healing or a favor? Pay up. What are you going to give me? So Naaman gets to Israel. And the king of Israel isn't too sure that Naaman's need for healing is a true motive for being there. I mean, this is an enemy of the state of Israel walking into Israel and giving the king a letter asking for a favor. And so the king hems and haws and he rends his garment, at which point Elisha, the prophet, hears what is going on and says, "Naaman, just send Naaman to me," right? Like, let's just get on with this. So Naaman, the great, the powerful, and the good-looking warrior goes off to the house of Elisha with all of his offerings of gold and silver and clothing. Elisha, though, prophet extraordinaire that he is, doesn't even come out to greet Naaman, because Elisha knows the God of Israel, that would be our God, does not need the gold or the silver or the garments. Our God doesn't care about status or how good looking or powerful or great or how worthy you are of healing. So Elisha just sends a servant out to go tell Naaman, you know, look, just go wash in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be healed. And Naaman, the great, the powerful, and the good-looking, that Naaman is absolutely put out by Elisha's behavior. I mean, doesn't Elijah know who Naaman is? You know, Elijah doesn't even care about all the loot that Naaman has brought to pay for this cure. And washing in the river, Naaman the Great deserves to meet this prophet and to have the prophet do his ooji-wooji stuff over Naaman and call down on the powers and have this great pomp and circumstance to go with the healing that is his due as a great and powerful and good-looking warrior. And he storms off in a bit of a snit. And yet it's the servants of Naaman, the servants again, these nameless people who serve him. And you can imagine they were kind of like, you go first. No, you go first. But the servants come up to Naaman and they bring him up short as they allow as how maybe he should just do what Elijah says and see what happens. I mean, if they were going to do something, if Elijah had done all this stuff and said, you have to go climb a mountain and slay 7 lions, he would have been all on it. But like, if it's as simple as going and washing in the Jordan, just go do it and see what happens. So Naaman goes and he washes and the skin disease is gone. And Naaman is healed, which is where what we read today ends, but it's not the end of the story, and it makes me really mad. So we're going to get the end of the story. What we didn't hear is that Naaman now cleaned and humbled. Naaman goes back to Elisha's house, and he offers all of his goods that he brought with him, but this time not as a bribe, not as a payment. He offers this as a thanksgiving, as a free will offering, out of the generosity of his heart because he is grateful. And Elijah still says, no thanks, as the God of Israel does not need such offerings. Naaman thanks Elijah, and Elisha's last words to Naaman are, go in peace. Peace. That same peace that Jesus used to send out the 70 in pairs. When Jesus sends them out, it is not as great or powerful or even good-looking warriors coming with silver and gold to lure you to the God of Israel. The 70 instead go out with humility, the same humility Naaman learned when Elisha didn't hop to because Naaman thought he was so all that and a bag of chips. The God of Israel, the same God who is present in Jesus, does not want our power. Our God wants peace, humility, grace, healing. And those attributes much like several thousand years ago in the time of Naaman and 2,000 years ago in the time of Jesus, is actually right now in our lives, peace, humility, and grace and healing that is countercultural. That's not what we're supposed to want. Naaman knew what healing should cost. Naaman knew how he deserved to be treated. The people who the 70 who Jesus has sent out in today's gospel, the people who those 70 meet would have been utterly shocked that these people were not expecting something, charging something for the healing that they offered. They would have been flabbergasted as they entered towns and homes with words of peace as an entree to share God's healing love with them. How shocked would people be if we did the same today? We live in a culture where power and beauty and entitlement and pride all lead the day. Yet as Christians, we are called, and dare I say, we are challenged not to let those characteristics lead our lives. You see, as Christians, Jesus calls us to live differently, but it is not easy. It is hard to go against mainstream culture. And in fact, it's a daily challenge to lead with peace over indignation, to lead with grace over judgment, to lead with humility over our pride. As you know, St. Cross has been involved with asylee families and refugee families. And having gone out to Adelanto, I can tell you that my experience was one that I still don't have words for, other than the fact that it was a place of great emptiness to be so filled with life. And as news has finally broken out in the past weeks about the refugee children who are separated from their parents, given the readings today, I couldn't help but imagine what it would be like to go to those detention centers. What would it be like to imagine us going to the people who are paid to do a job, to hold people captive, and no matter what we think of them or their choices, to go to them and offer them peace? The peace of God that passes all understanding. Imagine what it would be like to go to the children who are being kept in cages and offering them grace in the form of decent food and housing and clothing and care as any human being deserved. Imagine us finding ways, struggle though we might, to offer love over what is right or deserved, or what keeps us safe, or what doesn't cost us so much, all of which are phrases that Naaman could have easily used back in his day. When we hear the news, when we walk outside our door, and we encounter people who we think are less than us for any reason, including their political affiliations, that is the time when we need to go back to Jesus' words, to the words Elisha told Naaman, and we need to lead with peace. And we need to lead with humility. And we need to lead with grace. Our God does not care about our wealth, our position, our power, our beauty, or our pride. Our God cares how we come and go in peace. Our God cares how we can give up what we hold on so tightly to, how we can give it up for the welfare and the well-being of another. Our God cares equally for each and every person, and you and I are called to do the same. Go in peace. Go in peace, and just like Naaman, may we depart in peace, pondering and struggling how these words of peace are simultaneously a blessing and a commandment. Amen.